Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We are joined again today by Katrina Campbell from FaithBridge Foster Care Agency. And today we really want to dig into why people should consider working with a faith-based agency.
Because we do agree that we get this question.
We get it a lot.
Working with foster families, just helping meet needs. That's what you and I really kind of focus on, raising awareness in churches. And they're like, oh, well, why do we need?
Right. Why not just go straight through the state?
Right.
Why would we need to go through a faith-based agency?
And I think that's a good question. And I hear it a lot. And I've thought it personally, because you think, well, if I have great support around me in the church, if my husband and I are strong foster parents, then why do I need an extra layer, more people in and out of my house? But I can tell you over the long course of time, and not just through myself, but also other people, it is critical. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is they understand your mission.
Yes.
Mm. There's prayer that's involved. I mean, they pray for us.
Mm-hmm.
They pray for us, mm-hmm. not just from a case manager perspective, but also they pray on a higher level. They pray about what to do and how to do and what to advocate at the state level and maybe even the national level. You know, what do we need to fight for on behalf of the children?
So Katrina, I have a logistical question because people may not know. So when you decide that you want to become a foster parent and say you choose a faith-based agency, does that mean that you never have contact with the state at all?
That's an excellent question.
Or how does
that
work? I know people are going to ask that because they ask me that question
a lot. Well, actually, every agency is under contract with their state.
Okay.
Okay. So what the faith-based agencies do is they basically come alongside of the state, and they help recruit, train, license, and manage the cases in partnership.
So rather than going through foster care classes with a state worker, then they would get trained from a biblical worldview with an agency
Absolutely.
Like the one you work with.
It's the material that the state provides and requires,
mm-hmm.
but then it's layered with, you know, scriptures. We can pray. We can actually talk about things that maybe matter from a Christian view,
mm-hmm.
not just a worldview and professional view.
Right. So then after you get licensed as a foster family, you've been trained by your faith-based agency, you have a case manager on the state level that comes to your house and
Correct.
Does things. But then you also have a consultant with a faith-based agency. So what's the difference in those two people?
That's a good question. Number one is the case manager at the state level actually manages the case.
Okay.
Okay. And some states are a little different.
Sure.
Where they may give a more freedom to the agencies, but I'll speak just on behalf of ours, but there are little nuances that are different in different mm-hmm. states. So they're responsible for making sure the case plan is followed so that the children can return home. But for your extra case manager, what you have to realize is they are an extra lens to the case as well. They may even be subpoenaed. They may even have conversations with Garden Ed Leiden or the case manager themselves and advocate of what they see. Because when you look at the caseloads that the state case managers
it's
have.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see how they manage for a long periods of time. It's unbelievable. Believable. Mm-hmm. And so there's the turnover rate many times is so high on one case of your children being in your home, you may have five case managers from the state.
Right.
Simply because of the load.
And not necessarily on any fault of their own.
No.
It's
just
so
what they've been handed.
Stuff.
It's so much.
So the consistency factor is a big deal.
Absolutely.
And having an extra set of eyes on the case, well, just as an advocate for your family, but also an advocate for the child. It's almost like when you need brake pads
right.
and you don't have brake pads.
You're in trouble.
You know.
Yes.
But if you have good brake pads, which would be that extra consultant, then it puts a little cushion there and makes things potentially go a little more not necessarily smoothly, but you know that you have another advocate for you.
Right. And I think they also understand the mission.
Yes.
You know, this is not just being a professional child welfare social worker. Mm-hmm. This is a call.
Right.
And so when you see them join you with the spiritual warfare mm-hmm. piece of what we're doing is really building in children just ways to cope that maybe they've never had, mm-hmm. they can join. You know, I've watched them interact with the children as well as the families. And sometimes I just need prayer.
Yes. Right.
So you're not doing it alone. Mm-hmm. And so they understand the bigger picture from God's view, mm-hmm. not just child welfare.
Right. What I really love that I've heard you say before is when you walk into being a foster parent, that it is more than just instrumental care of children. It's even more than teaching them how to have coping mechanisms for the trauma that they've experienced. It's even more than teaching them Bible verses and helping them see who the Lord is. You're engaging in a spiritual battle
That's
of
right.
epic proportion.
Absolutely.
Because you're fighting for the souls of children.
Yes.
And so who doesn't want an extra warrior coming alongside you, battling against the enemy?
I think it's not talked about enough.
I agree.
About the importance of having professional social workers that know the expertise of the system, but they have the faith to believe God has a plan for each of these children.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, I've witnessed children that have been in very difficult places, and because they've seen so much, they have seen them all the way through, pouring into them themselves through a professional way, but using the lens of Christ, mm-hmm. and they change. They believe in them more than just social work. Does that make sense?
Right.
They believe God has a plan and a purpose for them and also for you.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just need hand-holding a little more with certain children, mm-hmm. and they can come alongside, and sometimes it's really just prayer. Let's get mm-hmm. you back on track, because it's such an emotional ministry.
And they mm-hmm. help you see, they help you see beyond the current moment. The current
yes.
moment, yeah. And I need, you know, Terry, you do that for me. Kevin does that for me. Katrina, you do that for me. Help me to see beyond. Okay, Lynette, they reel you back in.
Yes.
And I've seen that happen with faith-based agencies
yes.
with some foster families in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And when we'd have a panic moment.
Yes.
And you can say, I called you, I think, one time on Christmas Eve
yes.
and said, Katrina, help us here. And you were able to say, okay, let's look at this. And bring calmness, you know, mm-hmm. that only comes through the fruit of spirit.
Yes, absolutely. It's if you do not separate and leave your emotions at the lower level,
mm-hmm.
You can get tripped up with what you believe God wants,
mm-hmm.
and we're not God.
Mm-hmm.
And
a
case manager can do that, because they have the expertise to understand. We have to work with the state. We work with judges. We work with the biological families. There's so much involved that they can departmentalize much better than a foster family that's on the front lines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I even saw in my daughter, you know, when she fostered, being able to the extra support that she got, then being able to minister to her state social worker
yes.
and being mm-hmm. able to form a relationship. She was kind of equipped and kind of given extra tools because she's young.
Sure.
First time that she'd fostered, and given extra tools to be able to love this person. I mean, they made a friendship.
Yes. We've even seen case managers, what we call consultants at our agency, and they would go to the hospital with birth parents, with mm. case managers, take them things that they need, help them document the cases.
Yes.
Not working against them. We are a team here.
Right.
So how can I help you? Even there have been times like on getting forever families and getting permanency for children could mean adoptions. And our consultants actually do the work so that they can have permanency quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in their role, it's not in their scope, but their team, they mm-hmm. really do see the team approach as critical. So it's an extra person.
That's right. And I love to what I've seen faith-based agencies be able to do is they know their families so well.
Yes.
It's community.
Yes.
And they're able to say when a child comes into care, this child would really benefit from being in this family. It's more of it gives so much value to the child other than just slapping them in the first open bed.
And that is so interesting you say that, because if you listen from, and again, this is no criticalness, it's like they just need a bed,
yes,
right? But when you go through a faith-based agency, they want your family to thrive in,
yes,
their ministry.
I think that's what I was
and
trying
so,
to say.
Yes.
I love that.
And so I have witnessed, because I actually did intake for a year for our agency, and what I found is I would say, oh, the Ezels would be wonderful for this sibling group of three. And the consultant would tell me no. And they would say, well, this case, you know, when you would describe what the case is and the needs of the children, and they would know the family and maybe what they're going through,
right,
or what they experienced last time, and they want them to succeed next time as, mm-hmm, well. So you have foster families that have done it for a long time, not just one and done, if,
right,
you will.
Right.
And so they have said no. The foster parents never knew that there was a match that came in and they weren't even called. And do we want children to be placed in Christian homes? Absolutely. But we want your family to thrive,
right,
and you know they would be better with this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that just, it's just
great.
So sweet of the Lord to you know, to put that on someone's heart, to start these faith-based agencies like this and to support families, because we do want to thrive.
Yes.
We don't want to look like we're, you know, a defeated world.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And you want foster parents, when they succeed, to continue on.
Absolutely.
Well, one question that I get really often is, are the kids that faith-based agencies place in homes different from, like, where do all these kids come from and how does that all work?
Yes, they are all in custody of the state. So the state calls agencies, the faith-based agencies, mm-hmm, and they say, we need a bed for this. And so we look for our matches with our families, and we always respond with, we have a family for these children, because that's really what we're after, is, mm-hmm, not filling a bed, but, mm-hmm, but having a home and a family for these,
right,
children. So the state calls the agencies. And so, you know, I've heard so many times, well, they will call their families. It's like, look, if you look at statistics, they do not have enough families,
right,
even within their own system. So we as a body of Christ even need to work with faith-based agencies so that we can be a difference and even help the state.
Right. So does that mean if you go with a faith-based agency that sometimes it takes longer for you to get a placement because the state is trying to place kids with their families first and then you're kind of...
We hear that too. But one thing you have to do is, number one, you have to trust God with your,
mm-hmm,
placement. If you have to wait, we have had some that have been approved and got placement within the hour,
yes,
that we received.
I hear more of that than what you're about,
exactly,
to say,
yes,
probably.
And then we've had others that wait 6-9 months.
Wow.
And it could be that their age range is so small.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's something that you have to remember is sometimes if you wait, it could be their match is,
sure,
so limited. But here's the thing. I want to really advocate in a bigger way, but I really don't have the voice for this. But if they place the children in our homes, we will work with them. We're not against them.
Right.
You know, the state. So it's like if they look for a bed, they may even say to your home, one of your families, we need you to take another child. So you may go up to 10 children.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
10 children in a home. And it's not necessarily like that it's they have a large house and they have the capacity, but they have a bed.
Right.
And so if we wait, don't we want to trust God with,
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm.
That we don't want just us to provide a bed,
right,
but we want to provide a home.
That's right.
And so even if they do that, you still have to trust God with your,
right,
placement.
So
or get involved with respite.
Right.
I mean, you know, I always say get in the mission. If God's called you to this and you're waiting, then offer respite.
Right.
Offer care to the other foster families that maybe had a higher capacity and their ability, help them while you're waiting. Right.
We say over and over, if the Lord is wrestling you, if you cannot stop thinking about this, getting involved in foster care, then take a step in a direction.
Right. Yes. You know, just do something.
Do something. Go to a class about respite. Call someone about doing respite or babysitting or help Tara and I do Restoring Dignity.
Yes.
Pack a duffel. Go make a meal for a foster family. Or if God's calling you to foster care, that's the great, you know, to us, that's the biggest calling, you know.
Right.
You and so do it. Take a step and do something.
Right.
And one thing you said I really want to address. If you've been waiting and you have this anxiousness inside, maybe God's wanting you to expand your capacity.
Mm.
You know, we hear sometimes, you know, only go in birth order.
We didn't do that. Just up front.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to. Exactly.
We thought we had to.
Right.
But the Lord said, no.
Right.
I have.
It's not. I'm so grateful. Yes.
Yeah.
I have seen people that had toddlers that took teenagers. I've seen families where they have taken, I think one is even at your church, where they put one in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew the personalities of their children and they put foster children in the middle of their own birth children. But if God is saying that and you're waiting, then maybe he wants you to go a little bit wider with your range or maybe be willing to take a sibling if you have the space.
Right. And when you're praying through that and considering that with your spouse, really also seek the counsel of your consultant. Seek the counsel godly people around you. Because I've seen where we've both adopted out of birth order. We've seen other families succeed where, you know, they've been married for 2 years and they took a sibling set of five.
Yes.
And you're like, what in the world? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then we've also seen families jump into it without seeking godly counsel. And it was an absolute disaster.
Absolutely.
And then they start scrambling.
Yes.
Wanting godly counsel in the midst of the chaos.
But you can often, you can often look to those people and they can affirm with the Lord. The Lord will help affirm that feeling that, you know, and seeing your family situation and how you deal with stuff. So enter those waters lightly.
No, this is actually great. This is a great lead-in. A faith-based agency like ours may say to you, Tara, you think you can handle four.
But you can't.
No, here's what we'd say. Let's start with two.
Right.
And so
I've heard you say that many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
But let's start
with
two.
Say four. That's awesome. Because
six.
They're desperate.
Yes. And again, you can't blame them.
Right.
I always say to families, well, if they put another child in your home, it's because they trust your work because they've seen it.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean it's best for your family.
Right.
And so our agency actually says on the front end and after a placement, so both, they can say, okay, you say you have room for four. But as they talk with you through the home study process, they may say, you know what, let's start with two.
Right.
And let's see how you do. And then after your first placement, if you feel like you have the capacity then let's do it. Because they want you to succeed in your ministry, not fail.
Right.
Because it hurts the children ultimately. Mm-hmm. Because if there's a disruption,
then you're starting
then
all over
you're
again.
Starting mm-hmm. all over again. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that. I've also seen where consultants, you know how I said they may not call you? I've also seen consultants know their families and call and say, Tara, I know your capacity says through the age of eight, but we have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I really believe your family could handle it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Would you pray about it? And we've seen it, and it's happened. So that case manager with the faith-based agency knows you personally, and they are able to sometimes stretch or sometimes say, not yet.
That actually happened to us. Our program director called us and said, I know that you said you only want a placement younger than Jonathan, but I have a little girl that's 10 months older than him, and I think she could do great in your family. Let me tell you, I was sweating bullets, but she's with us still today.
Yes.
So I did appreciate that because I do feel like sometimes we get nervous about what we can and cannot handle, and that people can see within us through the affirmation of the Lord. Yes, I believe that you can. And I should say really quickly that I don't mean to vilify the state in any way by saying that they would put six in your house, but I do know that there is such a need. Yes. And when they see a family that does have the beds, that they don't want children to have to sleep in a hotel room or on right. their office couch. So they are trying to find a place for Absolutely. The kids. But the extra layer of having a believer walk alongside you and say, I know that these kids need a placement, but I'm not sure you're going to need to take six kids right now.
Well, you know, another point, too, that I've seen over the years with a faith-based agency is those first 6 to 8 weeks, I always say you hit that mark and you're like, okay, I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Your
6 to 8 weeks, mine took like 4 days.
Must have been a tough one.
Holy cow. Sorry, go
ahead. They have a great call on their lives, don't they? But a family consultant might say to you, okay, let's try some new tools.
Right.
Let's get you some respite.
Now, that's right, what I've seen. I yes, love right. that part of yes, faith-based agency.
Because you may need a reprieve, mm-hmm. but maybe God wants you to refresh and reflect on right. why he's called you. And he knew that child was coming into your home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, again, trusting the sovereignty right. of God placed that child in my home. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some doctors that are really into TBRI say, you know, usually he's working within yourself mm-hmm. and wanting to do something in you at the same time that he's doing something in the child. But the consultants are amazing because mm-hmm. They may require you to take a few respite or some breaks before you disrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say require, it's like, look, don't disrupt.
Right.
Let's just give it different tools, different ways mm-hmm. before you give up. And I've even seen families end up adopting those children. Mm. You know, so it really was having that case manager walk them through mm-hmm. a difficult time in the placement.
How sweet of the Lord as he sanctifies us
yes.
and grows mm-hmm. children.
Yes.
That he brings the body of Christ around us
yes.
to help accomplish his purposes.
So true.
And his plan is to set mm-hmm. children and families.
Right.
Yes. And this is just a beautiful picture of that.
It really yeah. is.
Well, Katrina, we are so grateful you came today. It's
Thank
an honor
you for
to be
having
your friend
me.
And to even be close by where you could be in the studio with us today. So we appreciate you and all that you do. So we'll have some resources available in the show notes so that if people have further questions, they can go there. So thanks so much
thanks,
for being
Katrina.
With us today.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.